but it has meaning for every day in our lives, especially when we think about the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. However, we must be very mindful and very careful that we don't allow ourselves to be drawn into the mentality of the world and forget to be thankful, and instead show our ingratitude for what we have been blessed with. Paul talked about some that would have this attitude in his day. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. Paul says, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people," he says, "turn away." From the last statement that he makes there, I get the idea that Paul is saying that if you are closely tied and closely associated with a person who is unthankful, who is ungrateful, who has no sense of gratitude for how and what God has blessed them with, that's not a good person to be around. Because again, if you stay around and mingle with a person like that, chances are pretty high that you might develop that mentality yourself. No wonder he says, "From such people, turn away." This morning, I want to encourage us all to be reminded of some things that we should be thankful for. First of all, I want to remind us all to never forget to be thankful. Don't ever forget to be thankful. Jesus ran across some people while he was here on earth who had that mentality. All of us, or many of us, I should say, perhaps are familiar with the unthankful lepers. In Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse number 12, the Bible says this: "Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off." And the reason why they stood afar off is because in that day and time, lepers were forbidden to come in close proximity with other people who did not have the disease. And of course, they had to live by themselves in colonies. And so, as Jesus came into this certain village, these lepers dare not come close to him, but they stood afar off. But yet the Bible says they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." That's a wonderful attitude that they had. They recognized that Jesus, who was the Master, could have mercy on them. They recognized that Jesus could do them some good. I will say to us this morning, Jesus can do us some good. So when he saw them, the Bible says, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Isn't that wonderful? And one of them, the Bible says, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were not there 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give God, give glory to God, except this stranger, or except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. I'm afraid that so many people are like that today. In spite of all that God has done for us, with our material blessings, with our spiritual blessings, so many forget to be thankful. God wants us to thank Him. Even though we don't deserve the blessings that He gives us, but God wants us to thank Him. And that's why Paul exhorted the Thessalonian Christians in the scripture that was read by Brother Greg this morning. He says, again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17, he says, pray without ceasing. And then he says, in everything, notice that, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will. This is what God wants us to do. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I want just to notice that these Thessalonian Christians were a suffering people. Their congregation, if you will, was born out of affliction. They received the gospel, Paul says, in much affliction and trials. But even though the afflictions and the trials that they were going through, Paul says, still give thanks. Can you and I give God thanks even in the afflictions and the trials that we find ourselves in sometimes? Paul says, God wants us to thank Him. You see, He didn't have to create us. He didn't have to bless us. Didn't have to give us Jesus. Didn't have to wake us up this morning. Didn't have to start us on our way today. I often think of the words of Brother Silas Houston, a saint in Pulaska, Tennessee, who is going on to await the judgment, who would say sometime in his prayer, Lord, you stayed off death. And you kept back judgment. And you allowed our golden days to roll on just a little while longer. God didn't have to stay back death. He didn't have to keep away judgment. Judgment could already be here. But for some reason, He's delaying it. He's long-suffering with us. And Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 15, he says, an account that the long suffering of God is salvation. God knows that somebody needs to get right. And so He's patient, He's long suffering, hoping and wishing and desiring that everybody would get right. We ought to be thankful for the long suffering of God. Because again, if He had rewarded us according to our deeds, then perhaps none of us but the babies would be here this morning. So God wants us to thank Him. God desires our thankfulness. So it's little wonder then that Jesus, when He noticed only one, came back. Jesus noticed that I cleansed 10, but only one came back. I wonder where are the 9. Don't let Jesus, don't let God wonder that about us this morning. I blessed all those folks at Northwest, but only one or two said thank you. I hope that's not our attitude. I just hope that every one of us realize how thankful we should be and that we are thankful for the blessings that God has granted us with. Let me share then a few things as to why we ought to be so thankful to God. First of all, we live in a nation which makes up about 10% of the world's population. Yet, we are one of the richest nations in the world, even in our current economic conditions. Have you ever thought about that? That we only make up about 7 to 10% of the world's population. But we are the richest nation in all the world. Now, we hear so much about poverty in the United States in which we live, but I tell us this morning that as you would notice and as you observe about other countries, poverty that we experience as a nation does not even come close to the poverty that other countries are literally. They have literally people that are starving to death. Many of them only have the clothes on their back, if they have any. We see this kind of poverty on the news or the documentaries while we sit around and we watch TV. We've seen this. And oftentimes as we sit around in our homes and we watch TV and we sit around our tables and we enjoy a sumptuous meal, perhaps we even eat more food in one sitting than many of these truly poor people will consume in a week. I just wonder then how well we would really do if we truly lived in a true poor nation. Would we still maintain our faith in God? Or would we think that God had forgotten us? So again, even under extreme conditions, we as children of God can still be thankful without complaining. Because we always are reminded of this phrase, I'm sure, that if you think that you're doing bad, all you need to do is just walk down the street a little further. And there's somebody always worse off than you are. So do we have a reason to complain? I don't think we do. I was reading some information one time where thousands of Christians go about the Lord's work in the land of India, and they go about it joyfully despite their great poverty that they experience. It was said that many of these people in this section of India lived on 4 to 6 ounces of rice per day. And they would love to have more, yes, but they know that it's not possible, so they go about contented with their lives and they do not complain about what they do not have. Instead, they just keep on doing what they have to do. They keep on working. And these were some Christians. They keep on working for the Lord. I'm reminded what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6. He says, now godliness with what? Contentment is great gain. Do you think that these Indian Christians were contented? According to the information that I've just shared, I think they were. They knew they didn't have it. And they knew that they possibly wouldn't have a lot. But yet they went about contented, doing their work and serving the Lord. So Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these are therewith we shall be content. I need to remind us this morning that the things we take for granted every day in our rich nation, others in the world see these things as unthinkable luxuries that they will never have. They would shout for joy if they had just a quarter or 25% of what we have, materially speaking. So that shows us, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors this morning, just how thankful we ought to be. Another thing I'll share with you this morning. Back in the late 70s, there were some Christians in Russia were willing to pay a great deal of money just to have a copy of the Bible. Some would trade, the report says, a horse or a cow for a Bible, and some would pay as much as $200 for one. And it says back then, this was about a year's wages for some of them in this poor part of Russia. Man, a missionary by the name of Gene Doolin, who made several tours to Russia, referred to this. And he said that we saw tears of joy as people grasped the first New Testament they had ever owned. As we sat at dinner, one brother in Russia held his New Testament and said, "This is far more precious than the very bread on our table." Do you think he appreciated the Bible? He appreciated the Bible. Young people treasure, he goes on to say, their copy as they would life itself. Now, just compare this with the attitude that many people in America have about the Word of God. Many people, and perhaps some of us, may just get too busy trying to make a living, trying to make money, or trying to enjoy the pleasures of life. And we don't take time to sit down and read our Bibles. Brother Stone was making a point in the adult Bible class this morning. Do we study our Bibles while we're away from here? Or do we wait to get to the class to hear what the teacher has to say? And he made the point and says, we studied for school. Why don't we study it for our Bible classes? We need to have a better attitude toward God's Word. You see, these Russians had the right attitude toward the precious Word of God. They cherished it and they longed for it because they understood that if they had their own copy, they could open it up anytime they wanted to and learn more about the Bible and what God had to say. I remember what the psalmist says in Psalms 119 and verse 97. He says, "Oh, love I thy law, O God. It is my meditation all the day long." What was he saying? He said he loved the Word of God. He says he is thinking about, meditating on the Word of God all the day. Oh, what a wonderful attitude to have about the Word of God. Oh, how I wish then that all of us, every Christian, even in the world, would have the same desire as these Christians did in Russia, as the psalmist did, as it recorded in the verse that I've just referred to. But I would suppose that sometimes the only way people would appreciate something is when they don't have that something. Here's something else that Helen Keller said in her book entitled 3 Days to See. Helen Keller, if you don't know who Helen Keller was, young people, she was a lady born blind. I'll just leave it at that. I rather she lost her sight. And she couldn't see. And she wrote this book. And in this book, she said this. She says, I, who am blind, can give one hint to those who see. Use your eyes as if tomorrow you would be stricken blind. And the same method can be applied to all of your other senses. Hear the music of voices, the song of a bird, the mighty strains of an orchestra, as if you would be suddenly stricken deaf tomorrow. Touch each object you want to touch as if tomorrow your taste of touch would fail, or your sense, rather, of touch would fail. She says, smell the perfume of flowers. Taste with relish each morsel as if tomorrow you could never smell or taste again. What was she saying? She was saying, appreciate what you have. Appreciate it to the degree that you would really just be grateful for it. So much so as though tomorrow you may not have it, but be grateful for it today. Oh, brothers and sisters, this morning, how thankful we should be with the blessings that we have in our life. So instead of thinking about the things that we don't have, we need to stop and think about the things that we do have, and we need to count our blessings every single day. All of us, I'm sure, perhaps are familiar with the song, Count Your Many Blessings. Let me just share it with you. When upon life billows, you're tempted toss. When you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Ever been there? Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem so heavy that you're called to bear? Count your blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged. Why? Because the song says, God is over all. Count your many blessings. Angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. And the chorus says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. As this word teach us in this song, it is important that we count our blessings and realize how thankful we should be. We are blessed with so many things that we get to enjoy in our nation. We need to be more thankful because we have an easy life compared to so many others in the world. So we need to remind ourselves then to stop being complainers and start being thankful for what we have. Another thing we should be very thankful for this morning is our freedom of religion. This nation was founded upon the basis of having freedom of religion. When I talk about freedom of religion at this point, I'm not talking about all the denominations and that kind of thing. I'm talking about religion in general. but more specifically, that we are free to worship our God without fear of molestation and violence from the authorities. That's what happened back in England and Britain. The authorities wanted to bind, if you will, their views on the people. And so our forefathers left that nation and came to this nation in search of freedom of religion. This morning, we have the privilege to come together and to worship God and to learn about Him without having to worry about persecution or worry about molestation from the authorities. We're thankful this morning that we have that occasion to do that. Not only should we be thankful for that, but we even have the occasion to come together and sit in this comfortable building where we're not rained upon, where the sun does not beat down upon us, where the wintry cold does not freeze us to death. Have a comfortable place to worship God. Again, something that I read about. Brother James can probably tell us even more about this, because he's been to West Africa. But this was talking about an African student who had come to this country, and he worshiped at a church in Colorado. And he said this: in America, you have freedom of religion, but not freedom to stay away from church. But freedom to attend and worship God. He says, in Africa, we often walk 25 miles to find a preacher to speak to us. And then we do not sit in a fine building. He says, we stand in the sun for an hour or two to hear the word of God. And he says, I cannot understand you in America having to beg people to come to worship. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? How we have to encourage and sometimes almost beg folks to come to worship. The reason being, I'm afraid, is that we have taken for granted the privilege that we have to come to worship our God. When we realize how good God has been to us, nobody ought to have to beg us and strongly implore that we come to worship. We ought to be glad to run out of the house, to get together to worship our God. We have the finest of automobiles. We don't have to walk 25 miles like this brother did. And James can tell us stories about that. Some, no doubt, would walk even longer than that. And once they walk that distance, they're willing to sit there for 2 and 3 hours. Brother Romano Tomlinson, who is from Jamaica, who preaches at the Westside Church in Tuscaloosa, related this to some of us as we were sitting at one of the lectureships. He says he goes back there every year to conduct gospel meetings in his homeland. And he says that they can sit and preach for 2 and 3 and sometimes even 4 hours. And the people are still sitting wanting more. You let me try this here in Northwest. Wow, we got so comfortable. But these people realize what God is all about. And they want to hear more and more. Brother Harold Gilmore said the same thing happened to him when he went over there some years back. And he was sort of like Brother Keeble said on one occasion, that he was preaching somewhere down in Florida. And this sister, he kept saying, in my conclusion, and this sister kept saying, don't conclude yet. So he would preach a little while longer, and she said, don't conclude yet. And finally got to the point, he said, sister, I got to conclude. Brother Hal Guillermo said the same thing would happen to him. That they were sitting there begging for more, begging for more. They were thankful that somebody had come to preach to them the word of God. When we realize all of this, then,
How could men, how could we be so ungrateful? And how can we be so unthankful for the freedom that we have to come and worship God? Every opportunity that we have to come together, if I could say it like this, morning, noon, or night, when we have that opportunity to come together to worship God, we ought to be glad to do it. Because it doesn't have to be this way. In many places, people are killed for doing what we're doing this morning. People have to run and hide in secret places to do what we're doing this morning. But you see, it's never happened to us. And so we take it for granted. But who knows, it may get here. Will our faith stand the test then? Would we be thankful to God? Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine how full our building would be at every service if more people didn't take it for granted, the freedom that we have to worship God? So many people would rather stay home this evening to watch the television, or to finish watching the ending of a football game, or to go and visit relatives, or whatever the case may be, whatever they can find to do. They'd rather do that than to come back here and worship God. I say, when you do that, perhaps you're taking the freedom that you have for granted. Above all, then, this morning, and I'm getting close to being finished. Above all, we ought to be so thankful this morning for our salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And I would say again that if we were truly thankful for our salvation, that we would seek every opportunity that we have to worship God. We can't pay him for our salvation, but we can sure show him we appreciate it. And one way we appreciate, show him we appreciate it, by getting together, worshiping him, and yes, by doing good works and being involved in his work throughout the week. The Apostle Paul is a great example of someone who understood what it meant to be thankful. When you look through the writings or the letters of the Apostle Paul, he uses the word thanksgiving 9 times, and the word thanks about 24 times, and the phrase thank God or Christ about 11 times, and the word thankful 2 times. And all together in his letters, he expresses his gratitude with these words some 46 times. That tells me that Brother Paul was thankful. He was thankful for God's grace and God's salvation in his life. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, he says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Do you truly thank Christ Jesus, who has made salvation available? Then he goes on and says in verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he says, this is a worthy, a faithful saying. And he says, it's worthy all acceptation, that what? Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? Save sinners. Then he classifies himself as chief. Christ came to save us, brothers and sisters. Are we thankful for that? If we're thankful for it, then let's show him that we're thankful. Let's show him we appreciate his dying on yonder's cross when he didn't have to do it. He could have left us in our sins. But he loved us so much until he came and died for us. Oh, I'm encouraging us to be thankful. You see, Paul realized what a blessing it was because he was the one that was so involved in trying to stamp out Christianity. But even though he was the chief of sinners, God gave him an opportunity to be saved. All of us, the Bible says, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God has given us an opportunity to be saved. We could have died in our sins. Jesus says, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. But God was merciful, and he allowed us to be saved. And if you have not been saved, I want to encourage you this morning to put your faith in Jesus Christ and be saved through the watery graves of baptism, just like Sister Bailey Stewart did on Friday night. So we ought to be so thankful. And our thankfulness then ought to show through our God the living and our dedicated service to Christ Jesus. So then, as I close this morning, from this lesson, we have seen how important it is to be thankful. Well, the crucial question is, are you thankful for every blessing that God sends your way? Or do you find yourself sometimes dissatisfied with what you have? Wanting more. Can't enjoy the blessing that you have now for wanting more. Thanking God didn't bless you the way he should have. Who are you? Who are me? Who am I to tell God how he should bless me? If anything, we ought to say like the song says, any way you bless me, I'll be satisfied. So I'll say to us this morning, the next time that you find yourself complaining about food or about material possessions, remind yourself again of the million of people that live in other countries. We're not so richly blessed. I want to end my lesson this morning with Psalms 100. And I want you to do something for me. I want you to stand, all of us to stand. And I want you to read the scripture that's going to be up here, Psalms 100, along with me. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, make a what? Joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands. And then he says what? Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his... Wait a minute, don't get ahead of me. We want to read it together. Go back to verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. You remember I preached a sermon some time ago on this very verse here of how glad we ought to be in serving the Lord, coming in, worshiping the Lord. Well, again, if we appreciate how good God is to us, we will be glad to serve him. So serve the Lord with gladness and then come before his presence with singing. And the next passage says what? Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us. Anybody in here made ourselves? Oh, no, we know that. And so the psalmist tells us we didn't do it ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4 says then, do what? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Let's say that again. Be thankful unto him. Be what? Thankful unto him and bless his name. Verse 5 says this, for the Lord is what? Good. And as my brother said this morning, he's good not just some of the time, but he's good all the time. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Verse 6 says what? Well, that is it. The point that I want us to leave here with today is to be thankful. And show God that we are thankful. Don't take his blessings for granted. Again, every opportunity that we have to come together and worship God, let's gladly do that. Every opportunity that we have to go out and serve somebody, let's be glad to do that. To encourage somebody, let's be glad to do that. Why? Because we serve God who blesses us with all things. And we ought to be so thankful. But most of all, we ought to be thankful for our salvation. Are you saved this morning? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? It may be somebody here this morning who has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning that God loved you. And he sent Jesus to die on the cross for all of our sins. Went into that grave. He got up the third day morning. And now he's back in heaven. God has done all that he's going to ever do for our salvation. Christ has done all that he will ever do for our salvation. The Holy Spirit that sent the word back has done all that he is going to ever do for our salvation. Now the ball is in our court. We're going to have to receive what he has done, what they have done through faith. So you must believe in Jesus then as the Son of God. And let that belief lead you to repent, to turn away from the sin that's in your life. And then make that confession that you do believe. And then go down in a water grave of baptism for the remission of sins. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. And you can come up out of that water then saying, thank you, Lord. I'm a member of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, the one that's going to heaven. And I want to say to us as I close again this morning that God wants to save all of us. But we got to do what God wants us to do for him to save us. So become a member of the Lord's church that you can read about in the New Testament, the church of Christ, and live a faithful life. And you can go home to live with God throughout the ceaseless ages. So if you're here this morning and you need to come, we beg you to come. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're just not as thankful as you ought to be, I hope this lesson has challenged you to rethink that thing the way you think and start being truly thankful and showing God how you think. But there's something amiss in your life, something that you're doing contrary to the will of God. Turn away from that. Because if you die in your sins again, Jesus says, where I am, you can't come. Repent of that thing. And if you need to confess, do that this morning. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is this morning, I trust that you'll come. Come right now while we stand and sing.
Wash away my sin.
Nothing. Blood of Jesus.
Whole again.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.